This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Today we're going to talk about a difficult subject, but through it we will acknowledge tragedy and look for the path forward so that more needless tragedies don't have to occur. Between the years of 1999 and 2017, there was a 33% increase in the rate of suicides. It ranks now as the second leading cause of death for 10 to 34-year-olds and the fourth leading cause of death for people aged 35 to 54. Overall, it's the 10th leading cause of death, period. The number of suicides also increasing significantly, frighteningly, among young people of color. Today I'm joined by two women who are taking action. Gwendolyn LaCroix is from Milan. Her son Jonah Payne was a student at the Early College Alliance at Eastern Michigan University. In 2016, Jonah took his life. Gwendolyn, thank you so much for being here and being willing to share your story.
Thank you for having me.
Our other guest is Noelle Price. Noelle is an artist and choreographer, and through her dear friend Gwendolyn, experienced firsthand the loss and suffering when young Jonah passed. Noelle has put together a suicide prevention dance performance called Remember Me Young. It's going to be put forth at the Detroit School of Arts on October 25th, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Gwendolyn, you are a psychiatric nurse practitioner, so probably you saw the warning signs with Jonah early on, didn't you?
I did. I would also say, though, that despite his long struggle with mental illness, I wasn't his clinician. And so when things happened, I was playing the role of mother, and that can be difficult because you're not looking for the same things. You're not spotting things that I can see in my patients.
You wear
on
blinders
a daily
you
basis.
Might otherwise not.
Correct.
Yeah. Were you entirely caught off guard then?
I was that evening. He had had suicidal thoughts and actions in the past, but he was in a very happy phase of his life. He really enjoyed the program he was in. He was making lots of new friends, and he was faced with a crisis that night. He made some poor decisions, and he was concerned that he was going to get in trouble for them. Unfortunately, he had means to a lethal method to take his own life.
So he found a permanent solution to a very temporary problem.
Correct.
I don't think there's any way for any of us who haven't experienced this firsthand to have any kind of understanding the impact of an evening like that. The anniversary of his passing was just this past Saturday. As you sat and reflected, did you go right back to that moment, to that time?
Yeah, I definitely feel like this time of year is very difficult because it's Halloween, right? Everyone's trying to get frightened. And I think for every mother, that is the most frightening thing that could ever happen. So I have my own horror show in my memory and in my heart.
And it lives every day.
Yes.
And Noelle Price, obviously a longtime family friend, a dear friend. What was your reaction when you heard of Jonah's passing?
I was just leaving rehearsal, and my mom called me, and she often does this thing. She goes, are you sitting down? And I said, well, yeah, I'm sitting down. I'm driving.
Very rarely does good news follow that.
And she immediately said, okay, well, then I'll tell you later. And I said, well, Mom, I said, if you've already led with that, you can't just tell me later. I said, please share with me, you know. And she told me that Jonah had taken his life, and I remember sinking further into my seat and deciding that I had to make it home. I had to continue driving. Unreal is kind of surface for me, but I think it was my first experience very closely with suicide. And I don't know if I was able to process it, so I chose the only way to process being away from my family. So everyone else is here in Detroit, Michigan. I live in Seattle, Washington. I didn't have anyone to go to. I couldn't go to Gwen's house and say, hey, what can I do? How can I be here for you guys? So I wrote poetry. I did art. And I think that it helped, but in a sense, I'm still processing.
Gwendolyn, you now have put some space between the incident itself. You've decided not to sit on your laurels, but to take action and to become a part of the solution so another mother might not have to feel what you feel. How have you gone about turning that tragedy into something that might make a difference for someone else?
I feel like my work does that to some extent. I went back to work the day after Jonah's funeral because I just didn't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. There's no handbook for how you handle this. Mm-hmm. Nobody should plan for this. And then I also decided, I had been feeling since Sandy Hook that things needed to change in this country around guns. I grew up in England and I didn't have to worry about gun safety for my children. And after this experience and going through trying to reason with the owner of the gun and still having my child die because he had access to a gun, I decided to go to a Moms Demand Action meeting. And at that point in time, they were readying for their Wear Orange event, which is in memory of gun violence victims. I identified myself as a survivor, and I was then invited to go to a training in Washington, D.C. last April to become a survivor fellow, to be able to learn to tell my story and Jonah's story and effect change. So I've spoken to legislators face-to-face in Washington, D.C. and locally about what it means to not have any repercussions when guns are not stored safely, what it means to the suicide rate that skyrockets. When we're looking at firearm deaths in the United States, 2/3 of those are suicides.
Once again, we are talking with Gwendolyn LaCroix. That's the voice you just heard. Her 17-year-old son, Jonah Payne, passed away in 2016 as a result of coming across an unlocked firearm and took his own life. He is now honored and remembered with a garden outside where we sit today, King Hall on the Eastern Michigan University campus. And it is serving as a reminder that there is a different way out. And Noelle Price, that's where you come in. You've choreographed a dance piece, and you call it Remember Me Young. And obviously, it stemmed directly from this incident with the loss of Jonah. What was the painstaking process of putting something together that you feel will honor that life, but maybe protect others in the future?
So I had recently moved to Seattle, and after hearing the information, I think, as I said, I took action for my personal healing with poetry, but I didn't feel comfortable stopping there. It didn't feel like that was the end. So I entered a festival. It's a dance festival, so several works are shown. And so I choreographed, just trying again to process this information. And so it was a work about the duality of maybe bipolar disorder, which Jonah suffered from. After that piece, I entered another festival called Men in Dance, where I had a group of several men on stage. And I remember that's when I went to Gwen, and I spent a lot of time talking with you, Gwen, just about the portions of Jonah's life that I didn't see. I made sure to ask, was this respectable to push forward with, so that it did feel more of an honoring rather than an exploitation.
Absolutely.
And Gwendolyn, you've had the opportunity to see it out west. Tell me about sitting there and watching that and knowing that this came from you and your son.
So on the anniversary of his death last year, I flew out to Seattle and sat in the audience. And I was just amazed because everything I felt like I had said to Noelle was in that piece. I had said to her, you know, when he died, it was like yesterday he was born, and today he died, and that time just had no meaning anymore. And she really made that part of her piece. There's parts where the dancers are clocks, and as things are going on stage, the time is ticking. I'm amazed by her creativity at being able to take all of the grief that was just cluttering my head and make it into something beautiful.
And what message do you want to take beyond the family unit that you are both obviously a part of, and out into the greater community?
Well, as you said, the rates of suicide have risen, but in Black communities, I don't believe that we had language to talk about mental health, mental wellness, suicide. I think that oftentimes in Black communities, the phrase is, okay, let's pray about it. And as I began suffering with depression, specifically, I think it might have been just a product of me being away from my family and not really having the type of support that I'm prepared for or used to, I realized that this is something that we have to talk about. This is something that I don't want to be silent about. I don't want the idea of mental illness to be stigmatized or kept quiet. I don't think that it's something that we should shy away from. I think that we have to put it in the forefront of our vision. I think that we have to say what it is.
And right. Do you think that art is a part of the path to healing?
I think art promotes change. I believe art gives people an opportunity who might not otherwise be having a conversation about this, an opportunity to sit with the information presented, right? Art evokes emotion. And the moment you are centered in a place, at the moment you are hit with that impact, we want to promote change with this work. We want to make sure that the conversation is not being quieted.
And I will follow that up with you, Gwendolyn. This is a story and a piece that was developed out of your personal tragedy, the loss of your son. You're going to sit there this Friday night, October 25th, at the Detroit School of Arts and watch this performance and a crowd of other people. Once again, you're going to be brought back to that moment. You're going to live it again. What is your hope for those who are sitting around you?
So I would just like to say that that will be the third anniversary of Jonah's funeral. I was overwhelmed at Jonah's funeral. About 250 people came, and this was a child who thought he didn't have very many friends. And everybody spoke beautifully. And to me, this is an extension of that, but I feel like we have come so far in the last 3 years. We've lost so many more children. We've talked more about this, but we've also saved people in the last 3 years. Gun laws are being talked about with more regularity, as if they may happen, have made it through the House, are being stalled, but at least they have gotten credence. And so I feel like the world has moved on without Jonah, but it's not all bad.
And you're not going to let that happen. Correct. Let us never forget. Thank you both very much for the time today. We will look forward to the performance on Friday night. And I really, truly thank you both for sharing your stories in such personal ways.
Thank you very much.
Gwendolyn LaCroix, she is a mother from Milan who lives today with the knowledge that her son is no longer with her. However, she moves forward so that others might not have to suffer the same. And we'd like to thank Noelle Price as well. She is an artist and choreographer, now in Seattle, from Detroit. Family friend, she too will not let us forget. I'm David Fair, and you are listening to 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.